We're in the very last lesson. We're going to finish this up today in our study series, Into All the World, that has been really it's focused on evangelism, sharing the gospel with as many people as we can. In this last lesson, we've really come back to where we started 2 years ago in our studies, and not only in Bible class, but a lot of them in our worship time, just really focusing on sharing the gospel with other people, and especially where we're focused now in this last lesson and finishing up this series of lessons is on the people in our Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. So we come back to there. All right. Last week in this lesson, we began by talking about looking at the things that we can do. What can I actually do to share the gospel with other people? Okay? And the first thing that we talked about last week was that we can really care. And we have to really, you know, it's a personal evaluation, looking at ourselves and honestly asking, how much do I really care about those who are lost? All right, and if I really care, then what am I willing to do to share the gospel with other people? Then we talked about praying, and talked about the power of prayer in sharing the gospel, and a couple of things specifically we talked about that we need to be praying about. We talked about people's hearts being softened. And being open to hear the gospel. We talked about doors being open to us. Okay, in other words, God to give us opportunities, bring people my way, kind of a thing, so that I can share the gospel with them. And then we also talked about praying about that God would help us to share the gospel in the proper way, in a good way, and so forth. So it's realizing that. Okay, first of all, it takes away all the excuses that I can't do this, I can't do that. Well, it's not a matter of what I can do, it's a matter of what God can do through me. All right? And so I need to be praying about that. And then we also talked about living. How do we live? I need to be living my life, and we talked specifically about being salt and light in the world. Okay? That's how Jesus describes us as being salt and light. And we need to be that salt that seasons the lives of other people, that helps preserve people's lives, okay, by sharing the gospel with them. And we certainly need to be that light, all right, that illuminates those who are in the darkness. It shows them the way out of the darkness into the light. And that's what Jesus calls upon us to be, is the light that people can find their way to Jesus. So that's where we started in this particular lesson as we're finishing up this series. This morning we're in section number 4, What Can I Do? And we're going to be talking about talking. I can talk. Okay? In order for, it says here, the lost to be saved, the time must come for the gospel message to be communicated to them. In other words, we've got to share it with people. All right? There's, there's something to be said for the whole idea of there's, you know, little catchy phrases and things that people have come up with, and you know, the best lesson that ever anyone will ever see is you and the way that you're living, and all that's true and so forth. But you know, when it's all said and done, if we don't tell people the message, okay, they're only going to get so much by what they see. Okay? And in today's world, that's especially important because, you know, too many people are out here. First of all, they're looking at Christians very critically. All right? And they're looking for a Christian to make a mistake so they can point the finger and say, you're supposed to be a Christian, and so forth. So, you know, when we talk about living. And that's what we did last week. We certainly need to be that light and salt, as we just mentioned. But is that enough? Is it enough for us just to live the way God wants us to and not share the gospel with people, not talk to people about the word. And I suggest to you, it's not. Okay? It's not enough just to let the light shine. We've got to, as we're letting that light shine, we've got to take opportunities to share with people the gospel. Chuck?
I was just thinking that that's the politically correct thing to do.
Right.
It's not to speak. Look, let my actions show, but don't say nothing.
Right.
Because if you do, it goes against what's going on right now.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's a cop-out, to be honest with you. All right? I really do. I think, you know, we've talked about this so many times. People say, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know the Bible well enough. And they may ask me something I don't know. That's garbage, okay? All right? And I've said this before, and I don't pull any punches. If you don't know enough, then study it and learn it, okay? Quit making excuses. All right? We need to know it. And everybody knows. And we've talked about this over and over again. At the very least, you know your story, and you can tell that, and there's not a question that somebody can ask you about your story that you can't answer. So those kind of excuses to me are just hogwash, okay? They're just that. They're excuses that keep me, I don't really want to, I don't want to talk to people. Well, you need to be talking to them. You need to go out and talk to folks, all right? Don't be afraid to tell people about Jesus and about the message. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, what is it that Jesus tells us to do there?
Go into all the world.
And do what?
Preach the gospel.
Just be a light in the world, right? Isn't that what he says there?
No.
No, what does he say?
Preach the word.
Preach the word. Teach the word, right? Mm-hmm. Okay? So if all we're doing is going out trying to be a light, are we obeying what Jesus is telling us to do? No. In Matthew chapter 28, what does he say to us? Therefore, go and do what? Make disciples. And do what? Okay? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And what comes next?
Teaching
them to obey everything that I've commanded you, right? All right? So, you know, we have to talk. We've got to speak to people. We're not going to be able to teach them if we don't talk to them, all right? Look over in Mark chapter 5. Okay? Mark chapter 5. Jesus has healed a demoniac. All right, sent the demons into the pigs and so on and so forth. The man, in his response, wants to go with Jesus. All right, but look at what he says in verse 19, rather. Jesus did not let him, that is to go with him, but said, go home to your family and do what?
Tell them.
How much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. He didn't say just go home and be a light in your family, okay? He said go and tell them what?
The Lord has done for them.
Which is what? What did I just mention a few moments ago?
He cast the demons out of him and he healed
him. Which is his
story.
It's quite simple. He's saying, go tell them your story. Go to your family and tell them your story. Tell them what happened. You see? And we can all do that. So the last question under that section there at the bottom, can I share what I know with others?
Yeah.
Okay? What are some of the reasons we don't? We really got to come to terms with this. Why don't we talk about Jesus to other people?
Dale and I had a discussion about this on the way on Wednesday night. And I asked, why we are so worried about everything and the world and all this kind of stuff. And he said, because we're spoiled.
Okay.
And it really hit home with me. And that's a lot of what's going on here. I think about how the early Christians were persecuted. I don't know of anyone lately who's been thrown to a hungry lion or set on fire and used as a torch on the highway or something. But if somebody says something back to us that we find hurtful, we've been persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we look at it. Look at what Paul went through.
Yeah.
He was bitten by snakes and shipwrecked. And, you know, he got all kinds of things happen to him. And he said, I found that whatever happens to me, he chose to be content. He didn't say he was happy with what happened.
Right.
But he chose to be content. But we're sitting around all day long wringing our hands and biting our fingernails over some of the smallest things.
Mm-hmm.
And missing opportunities because we're afraid of little things happening to us.
We're afraid that our friends won't talk to us anymore. Or our family might disown us.
We think we're persecuted because somebody says happy holidays.
Yeah, and we get outraged over that, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
In private.
Or, on Facebook.
You know?
Facebook warriors.
Yeah. And, you know, and so if we really faced persecution, well, then what are we going to do? You know, this is an important thing for us to consider because you've been hearing me talk about it, and we're doing this series of lessons in our worship time about the Lord's coming back, and, you know, and we keep talking about things are bad, they're going to get worse, okay? And that worst part is that, yes, if we're still around, okay, if you're still alive before the Lord comes back again, all right, then it's going to be bad. And he promises that those who belong to him will be persecuted.
Well, we had talked about John the Baptist and ladies class that night. And I said, you know, John was sitting in a cell about to be beheaded. And he said, could you just go ask Jesus and make sure before this happens? But it's the same thing that Jesus said to his father before the cross.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that this is the only way. If there's another way, let's not do this. And then, you know, I think of Stephen. Look at the attitudes they had. Okay, I don't like it.
Yeah.
But
there's nothing in the Bible that says we got to like persecution. but we do have to be, look, it's coming, okay? And so if we're afraid to share the gospel with someone because they might not talk to us anymore, or we might lose our job, Or, by the way, I like to put in there, who gave you that job to begin with, okay?
But
we're afraid to do that because of those repercussions. What are we going to do when it comes time to that persecution is where they're going to lop off your head? They're going to put you in prison. You see? It's coming. And yes, it's coming to an America near you, all right? It's coming. All over the world it's going to happen. That's what Jesus promised. And if we're too afraid to speak now because we don't want to lose a friend or what have you, a family member, then what are we going to do when we're really facing persecution? Okay? There's a church out in California. I don't know if y'all heard about this today. You know, it's coming, all right? That somebody put a bomb at the church, okay? And I don't know the damage that it did. Nobody was killed, but it did some damage. And you know why? Because the church has a stand against homosexuals, a biblical stand against it, okay? And there are folks in that community that are saying this church needs to go because they're full of hate.
So they bomb it.
Okay? All right? So, yeah, so they bomb it. That shows a really great feeling, doesn't it? But my point is, it's coming, folks. It's coming. So, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? All right? Chuck and then Chuck. You had your hand up a moment ago.
What is the problem? Why don't we speak? And I said this before, if we knew the exact words that God wanted us to speak, I think it would be easier. It's that, it's like putting your foot forward in a marathon, it's going through that door is the hardest part. Once you're there, you're standing there. There's really no backing out, is there? I mean, it's just open your mouth with your heart for the Lord in faith that He will give you the words. But it's really just opening your mouth.
Okay.
Just open your mouth.
But what do we have to do first before we open our mouth? The part we've already talked about in this lesson. Yeah, we got to pray about it. Mm-hmm. Remember what Paul prayed about? That I may be able to teach the word? Okay? So why can't we pray the same thing? You see? Instead of being afraid to talk to people and what people are going to do. If I share the gospel with someone and they don't want to be my friend anymore, have I really lost something? You see? So, you know, we need to understand where these things really are. And if we're not willing to talk to people about Jesus, then what's He going to say to us in the judgment? Okay, Chuck?
Our challenge is, of course, one of many, but the word that comes to me right now is about understanding the word commitment.
Okay.
Christ is the example. He went to the cross knowing the outcome.
Yeah.
He decided to go anyway. And we're grateful for that. And we need to acknowledge that. And also come to terms with that. To understand the full extent of what that really means. And I don't think a lot of us really grasp that. To understand that God Almighty Himself was willing wholeheartedly to accept the gift of His only Son, who was in no way, shape, or form warranted any of the punishment, beatings, all that. Mm-hmm. None of that. But Christ knew that in order to save us, not just us, not just you, not just Lynette, Chuck, Charles, all of mankind, wrap your head around that. That not only for this time here, us, when we are fortunate to have the scriptures and acknowledge it, but that wonderful price cleansed all the sins backwards.
All the way to Adam and Eve.
Forwards.
Yeah.
And then some. There's things that we still can't comprehend. So, again, being committed for a cause, and Christ is the cause. There's nothing more genuine and sincere and perfect than His cause. Because, of course, we could go on and on. But again, until it becomes real to us, it's just like another story in a book.
Okay.
You know, like another chapter in history in the past. That's just something that happened. World War II just happened. There's a storm. It just happened. It's just a story. It's just something in the past.
Yeah.
But you're not seeing it as real. So that's our challenge, is to see ourselves at the foot of the cross, hearing the nails being banged in, whatever it takes. At the Lord's Supper, you picture yourself there at the Lord's Supper. You see Christ walking on the water. Whatever it takes for you to convince yourself that this is real. Christ is real. The evidence is outside the window. It's inside this room right now. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere. But grasp it and say that this is real.
Yeah, and we need to share it with people and stop being afraid of it. Turn over to the last page in there. At the top of the page, John chapter 1, 34 through 46. The question here, what did Andrew and Philip do when they found the Messiah? Okay? Somebody got that. Read for us, please. John chapter 1, verses 35 through 46. Got it, Lynette?
he first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph."
Okay. And Nathanael went on to respond how?
"Could anything good come out of
Anything good come out of Yeah.
So go back to the question. What did they do? What did Andrew and Philip do when they found Jesus?
They told their relatives.
They went and told people, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the conversation because tone of voice is everything. Mm-hmm. But you go back and you look at the conversation and here's, Andrew and following along and Jesus, "What do you want?" Or do you say, what do you want? Mm-hmm. How you say those things makes all the difference in the world. How do you think Jesus said that to them?
Yeah.
You see? But you look at that, the results. Here they found, remember we've been talking again in our series on, he is coming and now he's coming back. One of the things that I've talked about over and over again is the anticipation that people had in Jesus' day of the Messiah, right? They were waiting. They were anticipating his coming any time. They saw the signs. They knew that it's got to be soon. And now here they find him. He's here. We have found the Messiah. Okay? And then again, like Philip tells Nathanael, and sometimes you're going to run into those folks who are going to comment or respond like Nathanael. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nazareth? Seriously?" They're going to doubt. But what do we need to do? Kathy?
I just thought about something when she was reading it. They had something to look forward to. So they had the Messiah. Here he is. They had something. Now I was thinking, what do we have to look forward to? God's coming back.
He's coming back.
He's coming back. So that's what we can start our conversation. Did you know that the Lord's coming soon?
Yeah.
And then we can get started, that'll make them think. Because I was trying to think, what's the question? Well, how are we going to get that first step, like Chuck said? How do we get that conversation rolling?
Yeah.
Did you know that God's coming soon? Or that Jesus is coming soon? And then from there, we can go on.
Yeah, he's coming back.
That's a good first liner.
Well, I get another good one that I've been using. Is God wants you to be closer. God wants you. People want to be wanted.
Oh yeah.
Almighty God wants you. Mm-hmm. And he wants you closer. He wants to have a close relationship with you. And that seems to be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It doesn't seem to offend. And because there's a lot of, hurting people that want to be wanted by Almighty God.
Yeah.
And explain to me, why am I saying this to you? That's another thing. It's like, can you explain why? When's the last time someone told you that,
Yeah.
God is sending me to tell you he wants you. Mm-hmm. And that just seems to be powerful.
Yeah.
And not offensive.
And yet there will be people who will be offended by it. Are you questioning my Christianity? Are you implying I'm not a Christian? That kind of a thing.
Hard to deny that's not love.
Yeah.
To me, in my mind, my thinking.
Yeah.
And how do you say, he's a hater because he's saying God wants to.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could get offended, but they're in the darkness and they don't want the light. And there's going to be those people.
There's going to be those people. That's my point.
They hate the light because they want to stay in the darkness.
Right. It exposes, the light exposes what they're doing in the dark. And some people don't like that. There are yet still a lot of people who are trying to find their way out of the darkness. Okay, and so those are the folks we need to try to reach. Okay, so let's talk about some specifics here. All right, can I invite and bring my relatives and friends into an environment where they can learn the gospel. Okay? The second part of that is make a list of learning opportunities which are available in this congregation. What opportunities do we have where people can learn the gospel that you can invite people to? Are you aware of them?
Bible class?
Which ones?
All of them.
But what specifically do we have available? Do you know that?
Right now we just have ladies' class and men's class. And
no.
This class, no?
No.
Oh, online?
We have this Bible study on Sunday morning. And, of course, our worship time, we have Wednesday night Bible study.
Right.
We have a ladies' Bible study that's taking place on Friday afternoons at noon.
Yeah.
We have a Bible study on Tuesday evening that takes place at Chuck's house. You see? He's opened his home to that. And we do that. Those are opportunities that we have going on right now.
Bobby's.
Do what? Bobby. I have a Bible study going on at Robert's Awning and Sign down here every Thursday morning at 6:45. Okay? Anybody's invited to come to that? So whenever the COVID stuff gets over and we can go back into Chick-fil-A, we'll start our Wednesday morning Bible study again. Okay? So there are, but even without that one, we've got several opportunities for people to come to Bible. And not only that, but How many of y'all have a home that you came from this morning?
That's right.
Okay. So how many places are available for more Bible studies?
And you know, it's not just the Bible studies.
No.
Once the COVID is over, we can have potlucks again. And we got
Anything.
Into this idea for a little while there of potlucks are taking too long, and we shouldn't do this, and
yeah.
y'all need to get your food and get out through the line. I mean, that's not what that's about.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
about hospitality, and we need to quit being the Martha and sit down and enjoy this, and no matter what form it takes. Carla and I get in there and enjoy washing the dishes.
Yeah.
And that's a fellowship.
All that is part of fellowship. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how, you know, with Dale's house, when you had dinner, the ladies would go in the kitchen and wash dishes. That was the most fun we ever mm-hmm. had.
Because and the men would sit out in the living room and smoke, right?
No, they didn't smoke.
Just tease.
Yeah. Now, they're talking about shoot in the backyard. But, you know, every little, things like that are time to fellowship with each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
Know each other. And sometimes those informal times are when people are more willing to open up and talk
yeah.
about.
Especially if we have a visitor who's a non-Christian and they see that kind of camaraderie and fellowship
yeah.
and, you know, with things
and
going
come
on.
Sit with them like, or sit at our table with us and you
yeah.
talk and you get to know each other.
Yeah.
That's where you lay the groundwork before
right.
you jump in sometimes
right.
with some people anyway.
But, you know, the reality is how many of us are willing to open our home to have a Bible study? Not that you have to lead it, okay? We've got other people here that can lead a Bible study. I'll do it. You know, Dale will do it. All you got to do is get people to come, and we'll be there to teach.
That's how the early Christians met.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, Cindy and I were having a discussion on our way here this morning with all the stuff that's going on and the persecution that's coming and so forth, and wondering, you know, how much longer are we going to be able to meet in a place like this, or will we be back to where the first century Christians were, where all we're doing is meeting in homes again? You see? It's quite possible. In fact, I would suggest to you, based on what the Bible teaches, that it's quite probable mm-hmm. that will happen,
mm-hmm.
okay, before the Lord comes back again. So, you know, again, if you have a house, you got a place to meet, and even if you can't do it at your house, can you sponsor one here at the building and say, hey, I got a group of people who want to study. We're going to get together at this particular date and this particular time.
Mm-hmm.
We've already got one of those going on. We can certainly do, you know, one every day if we wanted to. So there's no reason why we can't do those. Dale?
We were watching a show on TV the other day, and there was somebody that obviously had a problem. Talking about characters on the show said that if you want to get somebody to talk, do an activity together.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Don't you know, sit down for this formal conversation, because that makes people feel awkward. They said just do something together.
Yeah.
And the talking just occurs naturally, you know, whether it's washing dishes or whether you're playing golf or whatever, but the conversation feels more open and free whenever you've got another focus out there.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the easiest time to talk to people, is when they don't feel like you're trying to talk to someone.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know how many conversations I have on the golf course with the guys in my league about the Bible and church and things like that? We'd be on the tee box and guys go, hey, Russ, what? I heard so-and-so. What does the Bible really say about that? That stuff happens all the time.
But when you tell somebody, come here and sit down, let's talk about this because it's important.
Yeah.
You know, all the guards go up and they get defensive immediately.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're just doing something casually, all those defenses go down, and then you're just talking.
Yeah.
It's non-threatening.
But I tell you what, when you answer their question, okay, and you show that you're interested in what they're asking about and so forth, they'll come back and ask more. You know, they'll come back over and over again. I've got some guys out there, they're asking me questions a lot. Okay, and so, you know, it's opportunities, but you know, we let the light shine. Everybody in my league knows that I'm a minister. I let the light shine, but at the same time, I talk about the Lord all the time.
But that living is the prep work.
Yes, it is. It's important. I don't want to diminish that at all, but we've got to be willing to talk, to follow that up with talking to them.
That's where you build your credibility.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You've been gossiping about somebody, you don't have any credibility.
Yeah, absolutely.
Say, who are you to talk about being righteous with what you just did? What you just said? So
you're more likely to get a comment like, well, not if you don't do those things. I got this comment before, there's something different about you.
Okay. Yeah.
I got that before at work. But the other, my question and my lead in for some people right now, both Christian and non-Christian, is I keep hearing about people saying they're worried, and I say, why?
Yeah.
And then you can go from there.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, right now, with everything that's going on in the world, there are a lot of people that are worried, and they're talking about these things. What a great opportunity we have to just step in. Those are doors that are open. And you can step in there and say, hey, you know, God tells us not to worry. He's got this, okay? And here's why you shouldn't really be worried about it. And so, you know, really, the thing is, we've got to have this heart for the lost, as we talked about. We've got to be praying about it. We've got to let our light shine. And then we got to do. Okay? We got a house. We can invite people to come, or opportunities. Put together a study. All right? And again, if you don't feel confident enough to lead a study with someone, let the elders know. We will get somebody to lead that study for you. All right? You don't have to worry about that part of it. You can sit and be a silent partner. Okay? If it's a one-on-one study, that's great too. Okay? Just let us know, and we'll do take the lead and study it. So those are practical things that we can do and need to be doing to share the gospel around us, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 through 17. Let's go over there and read as we finish up this lesson here. What is it that we really need to be in order to be effective?
What's that?
2 Corinthians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 14 through 17. Who's got that? Wants to read for us? All right, Dale, go ahead.
But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. Who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity like men sent from God.
Okay. The aroma of Christ. Mm-hmm. Right? To some, we are the stench of death, he says. Why? What does that mean?
Because they're going to have to give up the life they have. And
right.
People just don't want to do that.
Okay.
Or they're going to realize after the conversation that that's where they're headed.
Right. Okay. And hopefully if they realize that, then they'll change their course. But some are just, as you said, they're not going to believe. No matter what we say, they're not going to believe. Okay? But to others, we are what? What does he say there?
The aroma.
The fragrance of life. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And so we need to do that, but that comes through us being willing to share the gospel with people. To tell other people about Jesus. And we can do that. We have a lot of people in each of us, in our Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, that we have opportunity. And that's what we've been talking about, like I said, for the last 2 years. In all of these things we've been focusing on evangelism, we've been emphasizing. We're not talking about going out and talking to perfect strangers, knocking on doors, which a lot of people are afraid of, and in some places, it's probably not the best thing to do anymore. But we're talking about just sharing with people that we know, that we already have some kind of contact or interaction with. People that are in our Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria that we have the opportunity to share with.
One thing that struck me about that passage, too, is that we're not peddling Jesus for profit.
Yeah.
And I so appreciate when the men get up there and they talk about the offering, and we have that slide that says, we're not expecting you to give if you're a visitor.
Yeah.
You give at your own church, or, in other words, it's not about the money.
Right.
Because that is so many times what people throw up at you.
Oh, yeah.
They've seen so much of this prosperity theology, mm-hmm, or these televangelists, that it's not about that.
Yeah. It's not about the money. That's not what it is at all. And you know, one of the things that that's been really interesting and amazing to me, not surprising at all, but just amazing to me, shows how God works, you know, through this whole pandemic time and everything. You know, our contributions have actually increased rather than decreased.
We praise God for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, he's watched over us, you know, and so... when it comes to the money issue, he'll take care of us, and we just do what he tells us to do.
And that happens. That's happening even though people are being put in need because they can't work or whatever.
Not only that, but I mean, look at how many people we're averaging about 30 people on Sunday, less than half of what we were having before. Mm-hmm. And so, folks are getting their contributions here one way or another, and they're doing it on a regular basis. You see. And so God is good. He takes care of us. Again, the message is when we do what God tells us to do, he's going to bless us. And that includes sharing the gospel with other people. All right. Okay. We're out of time. Next week, Mike is going to be here. We're doing that preacher swap. I'll be over at Carson Street and Mike will be here. And he's going to be teaching a Bible class. He did not give me a topic, so I don't know what to tell you about that. Other than that, I know it will be good. The following week, all right, when I come back, the first Sunday in February, we will begin a study of the book of Ephesians. All right, so you can be looking ahead, read ahead, and that's where we will be going. All right? Thank you all very much.